I want to draw your attention to something that, to this scripture, you can turn to it, that Tom read, 1 Peter 3:15. And just hang out there for a little bit. The That was such a divine appointment and an inspiration of God for Joe to want to go to that church, especially Joe, because Joe is for going to Starbucks, not to the local pastor. And we've gone to at least one pastor in every community we've ever gone into. For the most part, 99% of the time, to no avail. They're just not interested. And they're not enlightened people. And so, Friday, let me just test you a little bit. Friday, we have come to the place where we were realizing that when was the Holy Ghost shed abroad, which had never been done before upon all the earth, when made available to everybody, when, and by the Holy Ghost descending, making himself available for all men on the earth, everybody on the earth, that is significant of heaven coming to earth. Jesus said, the time is coming and now is. Now meaning the season, not today. That the dead will hear the voice of God. And that they will come out of their graves. And that those that worship God must worship him in what?
Spirit
and truth. That's a key. That is, for lack of a better term, a legal position. That's heaven's legal position for man to worship the Heavenly Father. In other words, you can talk to the Heavenly Father, you can pray to the Heavenly Father, but you will not enter worship, which is basically means to kiss the face of God, to be close to and have communion with and be in a relationship with the Father, if you're not spiritually enlightened. So we learned that the church was birthed when? Day of Pentecost. That's the day that fulfilled all the words of Jesus speaking about the kingdom now, the kingdom coming to earth. When you pray, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Let your kingdom, let heaven's rule. Let the dimension of heaven come to earth, even as it is in heaven. That prayer is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, not before. He, the Father, the Holy Spirit worked in times past, but to individuals, not to groups. Not even all of Israel had the Spirit. Matter of fact, you look at coming out of Goshen, none of them had the Spirit. Though they were the children of God, though they were the people of God, separated unto the Lord's, being the Lord's children, the favored seed on earth, the seed through whom God spoke, they personally were not enlightened to the Father. And you can see it all through the Old Testament. Only prophets and priests, different ones who got anointed, were actually connected in the spirit to God in heaven. Does that make sense? So the day of Pentecost is when the church was birthed. The church being who? People. Individuals. But it demonstrated through the Holy Ghost falling, demonstrated that heaven now, the kingdom of heaven now, was amongst men. Jesus demonstrated it, but it was not available for everyone. Jesus said, if I with the finger of God cast out demons, the kingdom is upon you. Remember? But it was not for everybody. It was exclusive. It wasn't all inclusive. The day of Pentecost, it became all inclusive to all men everywhere. But they still had to access it through faith and repentance and allegiance. And men didn't choose, but God chose who would be filled. Men did not choose that. Men did not say, God, he's a good one, let's choose him. So Peter did not pick Cornelius. Jesus picked Cornelius and sent Peter his way. And every single salvation and conversion happened the same way. And by the way, that's how it happened with you. So then we see that the foundation of God is what? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to get that. Okay? The foundation of God, the foundation of the church, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have to get that. That is the foundation of your faith. And we read where Jesus said in John 17, 20, which, what did I say John 17 was? Last will and testament of Jesus Christ. John 17, that's what that is. Legally, it's a legal last will and testament. So in verse 20, when Jesus said, and I'm not, this is not for these only, but all who shall come to believe upon their word. So that's a legal, inclusive statement that brings somebody into the last will and testament. It makes them an inheritor. Just as if somebody you didn't know or you knew but weren't a family member died and included you in their last will and testament, though you're not a family member. Same thing, that we were anybody who should then after believe upon the word of those called to share the word, the legal representatives of the kingdom, anybody who would believe upon their word are included into the contract. We saw that in John 17, 20. And then I used Acts 1, 4, 5, 8 as the foundation of the church and the believer. That which you have heard, go back and wait until you receive power from on high, which is authority and ability. Go back and wait until you receive authority and ability to walk this walk. And therefore becoming not just enlightened, but also a legal witness. Here's where you have to be able to understand the activity of somebody versus also the words of that person. If you were billeted in the Navy toward a certain ship, it would say in your orders, and if you were, you had to go through some kind of schooling or training before you got on the ship so you would be able to fit into whatever area on the ship where you were going to work, your orders would read, so-and-so set to go to the USS Hancock in lieu of a TAD, temporary assigned duty, to Moffett Field for training and whatever. Okay? So you would, your orders would be for the ship, but you would have a temporary assigned duty to qualify you for the ship. So what did Jesus say? He said, you're going to go out into all the world, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth, but you're going to first be TAD to the upper room until you're qualified. That's exactly what he did. Now, he's the reason I say, who is Jesus? Jesus is Lord. That means none of these things are suggestions for people. These are commands from headquarters. And the independent business world has set up civilian training centers for military use, which is never a good thing. Because a civilian training center can train you in the particulars or the technical aspects of the position, but they have no, they're not in touch with any military discipline or order. So what in fact is happening to you? You grow up under military discipline and order. Who's that? The disciples. They grew up for 3.5 years under the direct discipline authority of Jesus Christ, which he didn't teach them in a classroom. He trained them in a day-to-day experience. And they lived under his discipline directly for 3.5 years. So they not only were learning certain things, they not only were experiencing certain things, but they were also being culturally changed into the culture of heaven exhibited by Jesus Christ as their drill instructor. So they came out of that instruction, that 3.5 year program, learning how to lay on of hands and learning how to invoke the Spirit, learning how to pray, learning how to deal with people, but in the discipline and the Spirit of God Almighty. So they received not just a technical aspect, but they received a culture. You getting this?
Yep.
You guys are in a culture. And a lot of people that have come, oh, that Gene, he's just controlling. It's a cult. To which I say, yes, it is. Yes, it's a cult, just like Jesus had a cult. And the word cult comes from Jesus and his disciples. That's where it comes from. It's not a bad word. It's only a bad word when it's a man cult instead of a God cult. Mm-hmm. What's a cult? And it's allegiance to what? One man. Who's the man?
Jesus.
Ain't me. And that's why I go out of my way to say, this is where I'm getting all my information. All the answers to the test, I got the answer book, but you know what? You do too. You can be just as smart as I am. Huh?
Yeah, all the answers out of your calendar.
Yeah.
That you wrote.
So, So Jesus imparted not just technical duties, not just scriptural truths, not just heaven's anointing, but he also imparted a culture. Civilian training for military purposes loses the military culture. And so what do you have? You've got technically advanced and educated people going into a military culture with what they know.
With no government or order.
Yeah. With, yeah, which they may or may not adjust. And now it's so washed out that the military high command now has acquiesced to the business culture. What's one of the main areas we can see that in? Homosexuality in the military. Women in combat.
Yep.
Women as command pilots. Hey, you know, I'm against all that. I don't know whether you know this, but if a transport command aircraft with a crew of 12 people go down and you got a woman as command pilot, guess who's in command? She is. Really? Yeah, she's going to command these guys regardless of their experience or their abilities or their training. She's going to command them in country.
So I'm not fully understanding. I understand two parts of that that I agree with, but a woman being in command of men in the military, what's wrong with that? I'm not understanding the reason behind it.
You know, James, I can't help you.
Well, I've never been in the military, so I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Well, put it like this. Mom, dad, kids. Who's the head of the family?
Well, I understand that.
That's what I'm talking about. It has to do with authority.
The military as well?
It has to do with authority. It has to do with life.
Creation.
There's no time, if you did a little history study, there's no time in any culture throughout history when women ruled that things went well. And it has nothing to do with them not being as smart. A lot of women, my wife's smarter than I am.
Do you think it's because of women's temperaments?
No, it's because of the order of authority.
Okay. I see what you're
saying. God created man and he took woman from man. Okay? So in our culture, what's the prototype and what's the byproduct? Every Sikorsky created the Black Hawk helicopter, which, without going into a lot of detail, it's the most bulletproof, safe, resilient, almost crash-proof helicopter ever made. Ever made. They've got instances time and time again where they're shot down and most of the people survive the crash. They're a flying tank, and they're able to do things that just most helicopters can't do. And they can take direct hits and still fly. It's really unreal. But the prototype is the beginning of all things. Well, God created Adam, and he took Eve from Adam. And the mandate is, and this is where the humanists go south, the mandate is, and he will rule over you. The man is to govern. That word rule is govern. It's not control. It doesn't say, and I want you controlling these women. It says, I want you to rule over your household.
Yeah.
So it's a heavenly order. And in the New Testament said, God is the head of Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ is the head of man. And man is the head of woman. That's just the creation order. And things go out of whack whenever it is violated. It goes out of whack. Anyway, so there's an order to all things. What I'm trying to get to is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the head. Jesus set the order and the culture of ministry. Now, I know we know that, but the reason the Spirit has me continually dealing with this is because it's got to get into our spirit that what you see out there is out of order. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we don't fellowship it, try to fellowship it, love people, serve people. It doesn't mean that. It means we have to know for the sake of following the commander, following our Lord, what his culture is and what his directives are.
Well, to go back to your civilian military analogy, I mean, that's what I hear, is these guys are getting the training of the military. Without the government, they go home and sleep in their beds at night.
That's right.
They don't have their house in order, where they go back to the barracks.
That's right.
They have to fold their clothes a certain way.
That's right.
Live the lifestyle.
You got it.
They're just training, and it reminds me of probably, what's the word? Seminary.
Yeah, exactly.
Training without the lifestyle.
Yes. Training without the culture.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean,
it's really not even training, it's instruction.
Yeah.
It's less about
knowledge.
And if you look what this administration has done over the last 8 years, and you won't hear about it mostly in the news, but they've removed every high-ranking officer across the board in all the military branches that have command presence and replaced them, most of them, with women that have managerial skill.
Yep. Yep. We've administrated ourselves right in the corner. Actually, into the women's room.
Yeah.
You know.
Literally, even.
So, how important is the day of Pentecost? It is probably, the day of Pentecost to the church is the 4th of July to this nation. Interesting. At the beginning of every Mass, every Catholic Mass, what does the priest say? This is the blank day after Pentecost. The beginning of every Mass. I listened to that growing up as a kid, and I thought, what is Pentecost? I didn't know what it was. All I knew was the next week was going to be 7 days added to the last week. And I was terrible at math, so I didn't figure that out. But that was the beginning of every Mass. This is the 300th day after Pentecost. Wow. Why did they do that?
Wow.
Because that's the most important day of the church. This is like saying this is the, 2,746th day after the birth of Christ. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What?
Interesting. That, I don't know if anybody had a chance to watch Scalia, Anton Scalia's funeral. It was this highly elaborate, ornate Catholic funeral for that Chief Justice. And it was the most moving thing I've seen. I mean, they had a lot of really freaky Catholicisms things going on. But there wasn't anybody in there except for the bishop, the guy with the little red cape on. He was
probably the cardinal, or was he the bishop?
Yeah. Everything he said just hit the floor.
Yeah.
He was totally humanistic and was apologizing that they were working on the church. But every other Catholic, you could look in their face, and they absolutely 100% believed what they were doing.
Yes.
I mean, it was
yes.
And it was just.
I really appreciate you giving me a heads up on that. And his son did the funeral.
Yeah.
Scalia's son is a priest.
But one thing that they said, and because my wife grew up as a Catholic, you know, a lot of times she'll always say after something, "Lord, hear our prayer." Well,
yep.
I noticed in this whole thing, every time somebody said something, all the Catholics in there
yep.
said, "Lord, hear our
yep.
prayer."
That's
where she gets.
That's the end of Mass.
Yeah.
There's like five proclamations, and at the end of every proclamation, "Lord, hear our prayer." It's tremendously moving. Now that you guys are filled with the Spirit and have walked with the Lord for a season, some of the order of the Catholic Mass is phenomenal. It really does bring you back to the root. And the fact is, just saying this is the 360th day of the day of Pentecost, after Pentecost, that should say volumes to you.
Oh, yeah.
They're the ones that are holding the standard.
You know the incense thing? They were really big on that. Does that represent in Catholicism the Holy Spirit?
The what?
The incense. You know,
yes, it does.
They waved that thing on everything.
Yeah.
I mean, before they did anything.
Yeah. And it's symbol. It's symbolic, but also they believe that when you function in a symbolic like baptism,
uh-huh.
it becomes the real thing.
Yeah.
And you know where they get that from? They get that from heaven. There's incense burns before the throne of God continually.
Yeah, they never let it go out.
And so when we are symbolically doing something that is active and alive in heaven, maybe it is real. Maybe the wafer does turn into the body. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Maybe the wine does turn into blood. Maybe the mystery happens inside of you.
Right.
It can't be physically, biologically, microscopically discerned. But maybe the mystery happens upon doing it. Does that sound like faith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have it done to you, so according to your faith.
The mysteries, we're so carnal, earthly, sensual, and stupid.
Right.
Every one of us.
Scientific in there.
I'm dumber than most of you. That's why he gave me the answer book. The example of the legal foundation being what? Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just don't say Holy Ghost, because everybody will go, "Oh yeah, I got the Holy Ghost. Where's your trunk?" You know what I mean? Where's your trunk? You don't have a trunk. You're looking kind of offset there. The example of legal foundation was Acts 19, where Paul meets a group of believers. "We don't know that there's been a Holy Ghost." He lays hands on them, they get filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues. That is the one example of the foundation, okay? And then 2 Peter 2 goes through the living stones. We don't have to turn to that. The living stones built up into the household of God. That's an example, one of the examples of the church. So this morning with Tom, man, the duck fell all over everybody when Tom read that scripture. I don't know if you saw him or not. He didn't quack, he just fell. So
well,
I felt to
verify the duck. I grabbed my wife's Bible.
Okay, hold on to that. So this morning I wanted to go over church birth, which is Pentecost. Foundation, which is? Baptism of the Holy Ghost. The legal position of the believer? John 17. Why is the legal position? It's the last will and testament, right? Okay, so I just wrote a few things down. Without the baptism of Jesus Christ, by the way, the baptism of Jesus is the Holy Ghost in fire, speaking in other tongues, just so you know. The baptism of Jesus is not being born again. Being born from above is the Holy Spirit coming and residing and joining himself to your spirit. The baptism of Jesus Christ, you can, and I will say this, you can believe and have the Spirit of Jesus have enter into some type of communion with your spirit and not receive his baptism. Just like in the natural. Okay, in the natural, who got baptized by John in the water?
Jesus.
Okay, but who?
Israel.
Yeah. Who were they? What were they?
The people of God.
They were believers. They were believers. And I venture to say that probably there were some Gentiles that jumped in the water. And Greeks. Okay? It doesn't say that, but I'm just venturing to guess that there probably were. Probably mostly women. But so in the natural, you had believers were believers before they were baptized. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Would they be baptized if they weren't believers?
No.
Why would you? If you didn't believe in God, why would you be baptized for repentance? What? Who cares? So just like you had believers that were baptized in the water, you have believers that get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And the list is long. Martin has known probably hundreds. I've known hundreds, maybe thousands. Met thousands of people who were believers but didn't have the baptism. And really, really, yeah, Lloyd was one. Martin, I would say your ministry for years was trying to get people to jump in the water. That was his ministry. And that was his whole thing. You know, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Do you speak in other tongues? And that was his mission for probably most everybody he ever met. Well, okay, so without the baptism of Jesus Christ, without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking other tongues, the believer is not a legal authority, has no legal position of authority in the church. Number one, no legal authority. What's the difference between a believer in the church and legal authority in the church? What's the difference? It's calling an office. Jesus set apart five offices. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Guess what? All believers aren't apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. What do I mean by that? They don't hold the office. They're not called to it. Okay? That's why Paul said, lay hands suddenly on no man, lest you become partaker of his sins. In other words, you can't just, and what does it mean lay hands on? Doesn't mean heal or deliver. It means setting him into a place of authority in the church.
Appointment.
Also, women cannot hold offices of authority in the church. No place for them. Not my opinion. Timothy, Titus, the two places where it shows the order of authority in the church and the called offices of the church, it's a man married to one wife. Not one wife in his lifetime, one wife at a time. That's what that means. Which they, most of the church teaches just the opposite. But in other words, if you've had a divorce, you're outside, you're out of the ministry. So without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the believer cannot hold a legal position of authority in the church. Now, I expect you guys to do your own homework on this, if you're interested.
Say the last thing again.
Huh?
Say it one more time.
Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, the believer is not a legal authority in the church. Has no legal position of authority in the church. How do we know that? Go ahead. How do you know that?
Well, I was just going to say he doesn't have what he needs.
No. Yes, but no. How do we know that that's a true statement?
Because on the day of Pentecost, they all got baptized.
No. That happened, but that's not why. Okay. Who's Lord?
Jesus.
What did he say?
He gave some to be.
No.
No. Wait till you're filled with the Holy Ghost.
Acts 1.
Yeah. The commandment.
Yeah.
Wait. Wait. Do we know what that means? Not pounds. Wait until you receive power from on high. This is remarkable to me. He told this to his disciples, who over 3.5 years went out several times, laid hands on the lepers, saw them recover, laid hands on the sick, saw them recover, watched the dead rise, watched blind eyes open in their midst, which none of you guys have probably seen, watched leprosy healed. You would think that they were qualified to go out and do the work, right? Wrong. He told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which, by the way, was his baptism, that, by the way, he couldn't do while he was here. That's interesting, isn't it? Jesus could not baptize his disciples with the Holy Ghost and fire until he was ascended. Why is that?
Because he had to leave in order for them to leave.
How about he had to die? What is the spirit that you've received? Oh, the resurrection spirit. That must be why he couldn't lay hands on them and impart to them something he didn't have. He didn't have it. What?
I was going to say, close along with, were you talking about getting authority? Is the seven sons of Sceva.
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of examples. And that's a good one. The seven sons of Sceva tried to deliver this guy of some demons. And the seven men got beat to a pulp by one man, stripped naked, lost their clothes, all because they tried to exorcise this guy in the name of
Jesus,
who Paul preaches. Third generation, great. Them demons just laughed him right out of his clothes. Not a legal position of authority because they didn't do the first work. What's the first work?
Wait.
Wait. Wait. Okay. Number two, they're not a viable member of the church. Every membership on earth that's significant at all, military membership, police membership, any authoritative membership, Congress, Senate, there's what before they're installed? What?
A
There's a waiting period.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's a waiting period before they get installed. They're considered because of desire, because they're a believer. Right?
Yeah.
They're considered because they're a believer. But they're not actually installed into that membership until they pass whatever requirement there is, whether it's, you know, what does every job that's significant have when you go to work? What does it have? Probationary, 3-month probationary period. That's so that you can work for them for 3 months. They can fire you without being obligated to any kind of, you know, credit toward you like workman's comp, any of that stuff. Because you're not really an employee till when? After the 3-month probationary period. It's all, okay, so you're not a viable member of the church. You're not a viable member of the church until you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a heavy statement, wouldn't you say? Can we prove it? Gee, we'll go to the duck scripture. Let's go to the duck.
The duck.
Dan has it. Read the duck.
Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give defense to everyone who asks you in a reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ will be ashamed.
No.
1 Peter 3:15.
Read it again.
Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give defense to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that lies in you.
Where did I? Maybe that wasn't the one. Maybe I read it and hang in there. Where's the Saints in Light scripture? Who read that?
I did.
Read that again.
It's Colossians
1:12. Oh, well, duh. Turn to Colossians. It's in Collisions.
Collisions.
Brother Roger had the book of Collisions in his Bible. We couldn't figure out what he was talking about. He says it's in Collisions.
He's delighted, all right.
He was always delighted.
What was that?
1:12.
1:12. Okay, sorry, you guys. I got the wrong ha ha and the wrong da da. Okay. It's Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Now, what is this statement? Look at it. Giving thanks to the Father because he has made us. Okay, anything the Father does is a legal position, a license. It's a license, okay? Giving thanks to the Father who has licensed us to be in communion of the inheritance of the saints. Okay, just forget the last part. Can we forget the last two words?
No.
Who has he licensed us to be in communion with?
People that are in light.
Oh, the saints in light. Somebody tell me who that is.
Christ.
Who's a saint in light, Dylan?
I want that bad.
Period.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't an indictment. This is not an indictment. This is a fact.
Yes.
Has anybody ever gone into the store and went to buy something and you didn't have enough money? Ever? How about looking at a truck or a car and you wanted it, but you just didn't have enough money? Was that an indictment to you, or was that just a fact? And if you wanted that car bad enough, what did you do? You went and got the money. You got more money. Beg, borrow, steal, doesn't matter. Borrow. You went and got the money, right?
Yep.
Why can't we see this as that? My statement is this scripture right here. You are not a viable member if you are not baptized in the Holy Ghost. This Colossians says, we thank God the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance with the saints in light. The enlightened saints. Now, really, technically, there are no saints. Saints are saints because they're filled with the Holy Ghost. That's pre-concluded in Scripture, by the way. There's a believer. Sometimes believer means saint. Sometimes it doesn't. What's an example of believers who weren't saints?
The ten virgins.
Good example. That's not what I was thinking about, but that's perfect.
Paul in Ephesus.
How about Acts 19 that we read? The 12 guys that received John's baptism. They weren't saints in light. They weren't saints. Do we get that? It's not an indictment against them. It's just fact. They had to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
So the definition, or one of the definitions for the word elect, means for someone who has been chosen but has yet to take office. Right? The president-elect.
Uh-huh.
So just real quick, I looked up the word elect throughout the scriptures, and a lot of it has to do with people who are, you know, the elect lady, you know, the elect sister.
Yes, yeah.
The elect, you know, even the elect shall be deceived, talking about the end times. Mm-hmm. A lot of it has to do with people who look like they're maybe vulnerable or not in the light, who are believers, but yet can still be deceived by the end times. There's probably more there than I can
go,
but it looks like...
I personally would think that in some cases that word elect means chosen.
Yet to take office? Is that,
I think it... I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I'd have to look at it. Just because many are called, few are chosen. The elect of God.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean waiting to be put in, but it might. I haven't really researched it. Yeah. It could very well. Could very well. It's worth looking into. You could do that for me. Okay, so number three is not a viable member.
Number two.
Or number two is not a viable member. Viable member means selected, chosen. Still a believer. And how do you see believers in this world? Do you see them as under grace? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're under grace. I think if you look back, all of you were believers before you received.
It's like working for law enforcement.
Yeah.
In order to carry a weapon, you have to have qualified for it. But nevertheless, it's filled with other people working law enforcement that aren't qualified to carry a weapon, yet they're law enforcement still.
Yeah. Okay, the third one, this is a big one. No spirit and truth worship. What does it say? What did Jesus say? There comes a time as even now. Those that worship God must worship him, must worship him in spirit and truth. Paul says, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. What does that tell us? It tells us that he's not talking about his human spirit. Anytime your human spirit prays, you know what you're praying. But he says, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. And what are one of the five things that your prayer language does for you in that regard? You know not how you should pray as you should. But your spirit prays. So you can't work. So what does that mean? Worship God in spirit and truth. So we conclude that it does not mean worship God in your human spirit. Because everything you do is in your human spirit. You worship your car in your human spirit. You worship your little idols that you really like, used to, I'll say, hopefully, with your human spirit. You, even your girlfriend, your wife, you worshiped her in your human spirit, not in the Holy Ghost. Is your born again man, is the new man, free to worship your wife? No. What's the admonition of Scripture? Who are you supposed to worship? Worship God.
And him only.
And him only. What do you think about that? The new man does not worship your wife, let me just tell you. If you do worship your wife, it's with your human spirit, just so you know that. Your born-again man does not violate God's order in any way, shape, or form. Only your human spirit does that. Your born-again new man is never deceived. Ever. Never. Cannot be. Though the days are short and the very elect might be deceived, what's he talking about? Their human spirit would be deceived. Why? Because we evaluate most things carnally with a human sense knowledge. That's how we make our judgments for the most part. That's why in this ministry, in this fellowship, the predominant anointing is the anointing of righteous judgment. So that you can easily begin to see the difference between what your spirit man is judging and what your human man is judging. Our human man gets mad at people, wants to run them off the road. Our spirit man backs off and says, Lord, please help them. That's how it works.
I shared a testimony to Tim just coming up here about that very experience.
There was a biker riding up Zimmerman, and it was traffic.
Don't you love that?
It's like, and I'm saying, just pass him. He's way over there. Just pass him. And Martin starts laughing and tells me about the guy. He almost wanted to run off the road.
That was when he was just driving yesterday.
I had my snowplow on. I wanted to scoop him with it.
Hey, I had a friend, Laurel Burner, would have swatted him like a fly with his door. I had a friend that did that to bikers. They hated him on the road.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, no spirit and truth. John 4:23. That's where that comes from. we read the words of Jesus kind of like a story. It's not a story. It's a legal contract. It's a legal position. It's an absolutely freeing mandate, a document of liberty. Totally is what it is. But, and so, yeah, the faith movement that says, oh, yeah, we're sons, we're daughters, we crawl up on daddy's lap and just tell him what we want. We command him concerning his children. The scripture I went through Friday. So they're either taking liberties that they have no right to take, or they're not judging at all. And they're overcome with every foul thing. The faith movement is overcome by their own vices within. The dead movement is overcome because they make no judgments concerning anything on the outside. Everything's okay. We walk through this life just, oh yeah, we're mad as hell at some of the laws. We don't give a rip about other ones. Who cares? Yeah, homosexuals should have rights. Homosexuals should be granted an alternative lifestyle in this nation. Why not? They should be included in marriages and everything like that. Why not? Well, first of all, idiot, you wouldn't even be here if that were the case when you were, before you were born. Yeah. Or if you were created and belonged to a gay couple somewhere, they stole you from somebody else. I mean, the list is so long, it's just ridiculous. But the thing that is the most searching revelation about the gay thing or about much of the perverted laws of the land is it goes against what's inside of all of us.
That's right.
That we just turn away from. This generation that's coming up, the gay thing doesn't go against their conscience. Because their conscience has been formed in an alternative culture. And what normally and naturally would be their conscience resisting a perversion doesn't exist in them because their conscience has not been fortified, exposed for, and allowed to grow naturally. It's been controlled and instructed in a perverted sense so that the thought is this is normal. There's nothing wrong with this. You know what's really funny? Have you ever considered Russia's position toward gays?
Yeah.
It's violent.
It is.
I mean, violent. If you're a gay individual, you don't want to live in Russia. You get found out, you're either going to jail for life or you're going to be killed. You know what Russia doesn't have too many of?
Gay people.
Gay people. And do you know that it's not, would you call Russia a moral nation?
No.
No. No. So why have they taken such a hard stand?
Because it destroys the family.
Well, yeah. I mean, they've done their homework. They know what history has dictated. There isn't one nation in the history of the world that has succeeded and existed in the gay culture. Do you realize that? Not one.
Yeah.
And the end of every prosperous nation, one of the normals in the culture was the gay lifestyle at the end of its existence. And where this country, what's this nation formed after? What laws?
Judeo-Christian,
but I mean, where does our form of government come from?
Rome.
The Rome.
Yeah.
The Greeks.
Yeah.
I mean, blueprint. Reagan did a little book on it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
unbelievable. Draws the parallels of the Greek society in the United States. You can't hardly tell. I mean, what he did is peeled the titles off. You read it and you thought it was the United States.
Wow.
And just before their end, gay culture, licensed, excused. Official government functions, parties. You could be with a whore, you could be with your wife, you could be with a gay person, didn't matter.
Horse, kids.
Yeah. Yeah, so. And of course, you know, why are these things so important? Well, before I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I noticed something in the Navy. I noticed something aboard ship. I noticed that, you know, in the Navy you have an idiom called scuttlebutt. And that's just everybody's idea of what's happening next. Well, the scuttlebutt is we're going to go to Vietnam. Or the scuttlebutt is we're going to, you know, go to Subic Bay for R&R or whatever. It's everybody's hearing different things. And there's scuttlebutt going on 24/7 throughout the airwaves, throughout the universe, the cosmos. We are being influenced. Every one of us are being influenced by worldly scuttlebutt every day of our life. If you turn on a radio, if you turn on a TV, if you sit with people, go sit in coffee brew and have a cup of coffee and just listen to what's going on around you. The truth of how we are in the worldly sense is the more of what we hear, the more like what we hear we become. That's what judgment does. Judgment shuts the windows, blocks the gate, porters the door, sentries the highway. That's what judgment does. And you stay focused on what you're called to do. Just like my involvement with different jumpers and Knievel days and all the stuff that goes on up there, there's a tremendous pull or influence, mostly, to get me overly involved in these guys' careers and what they do. And I set my spirit every year that we have to have a plan, we have to have direction, we have to stay true to the spirit and culture of who we are up there. We don't diminish, we don't compromise, we don't back up from anything. That doesn't mean that I might not go into a bar to talk to somebody if he's in there and he wants to see me. Doesn't mean that, you know, I won't talk with anybody. But as far as behavior goes, as far as sitting down having a beer with somebody in the bar, not happening. I'll have a Coke. But I mean, it's just not happening. That's not happening. Not that the beer would hurt me, but the representation of what it is to them and what it is to me has to be distinct. So we set our focus and we set our plan. We set a course and we do not deviate. We don't deviate from it. Hold your thought. I was when that Lawrence Legends group, remember, was up there. You know, they wanted me to come back that night when they performed. Howbeit, all the guys wanted me to, all his right-hand man, his helpers, they wanted me to come back. He didn't. Everybody was telling me how much he wanted to meet me, and he wanted us to do the jump, and he's got this plan for Jump for Jesus. I met the guy, he was an empty. And he has a huge church in Cincinnati. His dad's church. His dad started it. He's a second generation entitled guy, is who he is, who puts all his money into the rock music. And has got probably a $200,000 setup. 5-6 trucks everywhere he goes. Big time. Music thing, okay? But he didn't invite me to come back. He didn't even really give me 5 minutes of his time.
Yeah, he wouldn't even say hi.
We were there when they brought lunch for the guys. They didn't offer us a sandwich. I mean, it was everything we needed to see.
Yeah.
So you know what? We didn't go back. I wasn't going to try to put my foot in the door. There was no opening there. And if we had not set a path, an agenda, and had our own integrity, we'd have hung around like everybody else, seeing if they'd throw us a scrap. Or let's hang around just in case maybe, you know, he may want to use us.
Yeah.
And there was no way the testimony of Jesus would even make sense from that platform. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's what we talked about in Great Falls, knowing who you are.
Yeah.
Romans 1:9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his Son. Just what you're saying.
So, just wanted to hit on a few of those things. And whatever it's worth.
It's good.
I think you're talking about being right. When you're talking about the word, everything is because of his word. Even before, during praise and worship, just one of the things that came to me was how the word of God is quick and sharp.
Oh, yeah.
And powerful. And even just what you're talking about today, it really makes that much clearer, just that, just kind of, I know for me it is like a difference between knowing, even that we're heirs and born called to be present, knowing that versus taking it personally and really realizing that he can see the walk. You know, not only does he expect me to walk, but he made it able for me to walk if I just will, you know, as he did. And what else was I going to say? And I read this.
What's that scripture? Hebrews what? 4?
No, it's Hebrews 3. Or yeah, sorry, 4:12.
4:12, yeah. What else?
But, and even in the beginning of Hebrews, it almost kind of highlights Friday night, it's Hebrews 1, and I mean, it just goes down 1-8. Like, I'll just read the whole thing, but it says God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, but who, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high.
Yeah, and let me just stop you there. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Yeah. The word, the authority of God's word upholds all things. That's why you guys need to be in communion with and understand and live in his word, because you're going to be upheld in all your life by the same thing. Go ahead.
But then it just goes down, and being made so much better than the angels has by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than me. For unto the angels said he, did he say at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he says, and let the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he says, who make his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But under the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever, and a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. But I just thought it was interesting how it just went down, and you know, you were talking about inheritance, how everything is...
And the scepter of judgment.
And scepter of judgment.
And because you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, I have anointed you above your friends. That's the spirit of judgment. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are a work of your hands. They shall perish, you will remain. They will wax old as a garment, and as a vesture you shall fold them up. They shall be changed, but you will stay and remain the same, for your years will never fail. That's us if we have received the DNA of his word, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. That's why it's important. And you guys should be praying in your prayer language continually through the week. That builds you up in your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. That's also what the Word says. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm thinking of the volunteer position in the military. Nobody's excluded.